Brother Jeff, thank you so much. I love you. I have enjoyed our friendship through the years. I do believe the Lord knit our hearts together about 10 or 12 years ago. Every Sunday morning, I receive a text from Brother Jeff. He prays for me just like he does many of you. He prays for me every Sunday morning, and it means so much to know that your prayers and your support is with me. Thank you, Brother Jeff, for being a friend to me. And Pastor Todd, thank you for being a new friend to me. I appreciate that strong message that you brought, and you did not bunt. You aimed for the fence, and you hit it. Yeah. That's what he said. He said he had a third of a sermon to preach, and I said that's good because I only brought two-thirds of a sermon with me, and so that'd be all right. You'll find the text in Exodus chapter 34 tonight. And I appreciate many friends out here, many who I've known for a while. Thank you for coming tonight. Go ahead and stand, and we stand in honor and reverence of God's holy word. I like it when people stand to reverence God's word. We moved down here to Alabama in about 2005, and I got to watching college football, and I got to noticing when the beloved Crimson Tide take to the field, or when the Tigers take to the field, everybody in the stands stands to their feet to show honor and reverence to their favorite college football team. And I started thinking, if we stand up to honor a football team, how much more ought we to stand up to honor the Word of God? So I like it. There's a good spirit in this place together because we're of a like-minded spirit here tonight, and I appreciate that. Exodus chapter 34, I'm going to try to preach, and I asked Pastor Todd to pray for me. Pray for me tonight. I get nervous when I preach, and I want y'all to pray for me. I got those butterflies in my stomach tonight. I'm going to try to preach tonight on this subject, how to have a shining testimony, from Exodus chapter 34. Look down here at the first 8 verses. You'll recognize the scene as we get into this message. Exodus chapter 34, verse 1. And the Lord said to Moses, "Cut 2 tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. So be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai, and present yourself to me there on the top of the mountain. And no man shall come up with you, and let no man be seen throughout all the mountain. Let neither flocks nor herds feed before that mountain." So he cut 2 tablets of stone like the first ones. Then Moses rose early in the morning and went up Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him. And he took in his hand the 2 tablets of stone. Now the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. So Moses made haste, bowed his head toward the earth, and worshiped. Look down at verse 28 and 29, that same chapter. Notice this, verse 28. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water, and he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the 10 commandments. Now it was so when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the 2 tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Pray with me, God. I want to have a good testimony. I want our churches to have a good testimony as we serve this present age that you've called us to serve. And God, I pray tonight that you would remind me of some things and remind us of some things that we must do, we need to do, if we want people to see Jesus in us. Help me, Lord Jesus, do the preaching for me and get me out of the way. I ask it In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be seated. Well, I believe that if we have a real encounter with God in this place this week, I believe that we can't help but be changed by it. In fact, I believe that if God does a work on the inside, it's going to be evident on the outside. Now, you see that all through Scripture. You know, Stephen, the deacon, who became a preaching deacon, Stephen got up to preach to the Sanhedrin in Acts chapter 6, and I've always wanted to start a sermon like Stephen started that sermon. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised of heart, you do always resist the Holy Spirit. But I've never done it. But you know what the Bible says as Stephen preaches that sermon? It says in verse number 15 that his face shone like the face of an angel. Yeah. You recall Jesus when he gets Peter, James, and John, and he goes up on top of the mountain in Matthew chapter 17, and the Shekinah glory of God settles down on that mountaintop. And the Bible says that Jesus was transfigured, literally metamorphosized. Jesus was transfigured so that his face shone brighter than the noonday sun. And then you'll probably remember when Peter and John, they were preaching in Acts chapter 4, and in verse 13, the Bible says, So when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that these men were untrained and uneducated, and they marveled because they realized that they had been with Jesus. Hey, people can tell it when you've really been with Jesus, and they can tell it when you ain't been with Jesus also. Moses spent 40 days on that mountain up there with God, and when Moses came down off that mountain, everybody saw the glory of God radiating off his face, and he had to wear a veil over top his face to keep him from blinding the crowd. What's God doing on the inside of you that's obvious on the outside? Y'all don't take this the wrong way. Sometimes I get mistaken for a car mechanic when I'm out in public. But it was a couple of years ago. I was at Princeton Hospital. And I'm not making any part of this story up right here. I'm walking down the hall. I've been in some room to pray with somebody. And I'm walking, and it might be because I have a lacquered down hairdo. I don't know why it is. I'm just walking down the hallway, don't see anybody in the hallway, heading towards the elevator, and I'm not lying to you, Brother Jeff. This door swings open. This woman comes out, she says, "I perceive that thou art a preacher. You pray for me. You pray for all of us up here on 5 West." I don't know. It may have been the hairdo. It may have been because I was carrying a large print King James Bible under my arm. But people can tell. People can, when God's doing something on the inside, people are going to see something on the outside. So what are the steps tonight? What are the steps tonight for us to have a shining? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. What are the steps? Moses shows us some things right here. Look down here. Here's number one. Number one's desperation. Desperation. Look down here in chapter 33. What God says to Moses in Exodus 33, verse number 3. God says, Moses, go up. They're out there in the desert. He says, Moses, go up to a land flowing with milk and honey. But I will not go with you. Look down here in verse number 15 of Exodus chapter 33. Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." Hey, what good is the promised land if the Lord isn't going to be with us? What good is milk and honey if we do not have the fountain of living water and the bread of life? You see, we can, in our churches, in our ministries, we can have all of the external trappings of success and have a vacancy of the manifest felt presence of God in our churches. Just because the building's full and the offering plate is full and the church building looks nice, that doesn't mean the touch of God is on your life. Hey, don't confuse big attendance and big budget and big building for having the presence of God on your ministry. Desperation. I don't want anything other than the presence of God on my life. Desperation. I want God more than I want to make budget this year. I want God more than I want high attendance Sunday school goals. I want God more than I want a building program at the church. Desperation. Here's the second thing tonight, because I only got two-thirds of a sermon to preach this evening. Here's the second point, separation. Shining testimony, desperation. Shining testimony, separation. Right here in the text, chapter 34. Verse number 3. Chapter 34, verse 3. What God says to Moses. No man shall come up with you. Moses, I want to meet with you on top of the mountain. But I don't want anybody else coming up with you. It's just going to be me and you, Moses. See, now I'm all for prayer meeting, all for prayer partners, all for corporate prayer. But there's got to be a time when you get alone with God. That's what happened with Jesus' life. Mark 1:35. And in the morning, a long while before daylight, he departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Or Mark 6:46. He puts his disciples in a boat, and he goes up on top of a mountain by himself, and he prays. Hey, everybody wants to get together to pray. Have you ever tried getting alone and praying? That's where the power is. Hey, let's look at the Apostle Paul. His conversion experience in Galatians chapter 1. He has that Damascus Road experience. And in Galatians 1, 15 and 16, Paul says, I did not immediately go up to Jerusalem to confer with flesh and blood, but I went out into the Arabian desert all by myself, and I spent 3 years alone with God. Why? God was putting into Paul's heart the truths that we would know as the book of Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians. Hey, God had some things to teach the Apostle Paul in that Arabian desert all by himself that Paul never could have learned in a seminary anywhere. What about John? The revelation. Hey, if John had been busy in committee meetings and Baptist potluck socials, we wouldn't have the book of Revelation at the end of our Bible. God had to get him all alone, all by himself, on the island of Patmos exiled, so God could teach him some things that we need tonight. I'm simply saying there are some things God wants to do in our lives. There are some truths that God wants to impress upon our hearts, and we're never going to learn them unless we learn to get alone by ourselves with God. All right, desperation, separation. Here's the third point. The third point is preparation. This may be one of my favorite verses right here. Look right here in verse number 2. I imagine it's probably not, but I imagine it's Saturday night. Because look what God says to Moses in verse number 2. He says, so be ready in the morning. Every preacher understands that. I've preached a lot of Saturday night specials. I don't think Pastor Todd ever has, though. He's always ready. Look what he says. Says, and present yourself to me. Don't gloss over that. That's what you're doing here tonight. See, we didn't come here tonight to be entertained with some good music and some funnies that the preacher might chunk our way. We came here tonight to present ourselves before God. And every time you come to church, you're presenting yourself before God, and you better be ready when you do that. Listen to what Rehoboam, what the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 12, verse 14. This is powerful right here. Bad king named Rehoboam. That verse says, and Rehoboam did evil in the sight of the Lord. Why would the Bible say that Rehoboam did evil in the sight of the Lord? You know why he did evil in the sight of the Lord by that verse? Because he prepared not his heart. It's evil. It's evil to not be prepared when you come to worship before the Lord. If I had a meeting with Congress tomorrow morning, if I had a meeting with Sabin or Mal Zondam, if I had a meeting, I'd be ready for that meeting tomorrow morning. But when I come to church, I meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'm going to be ready for that meeting. Now, there's a fourth point. Preparation. Separation. Desperation. The fourth point is anticipation. If you want to have a shining test, look at it right here in verse number 4. Halfway through verse number 4. Since Moses gets up, don't miss this, and he took in his hand the two tablets of stone. God had said, hew two tablets of stone out of the rock, and when you come up to meet with me tomorrow morning, you bring those two tablets with you on top of this mountain. Now, this is not a rhetorical question. I want an answer. If you give me the right answer, you pass. And you don't have to come back the rest of the week. Why did Moses take two tablets up on top of that mountain? God told him to. That's right. That's always the answer. I can't fail you for that. But there's also another reason. Because Moses was expecting God to write something on those tablets. That's simple. I don't even need to be said, I know, but don't miss that. If Moses had have needed rain, Moses would have taken that proverbial umbrella up there on that mountain with him. But Moses didn't need rain. You know what Moses needed? Moses needed a word from God. Moses needed a word from God, and so Moses went up on top of that mountain expecting to receive what he needed. Every time you come to church, you ought to come to church with an expectant heart. Every time you come to church, you come expecting God to hear your prayer, God to meet your need, God to heal your body, God to save your child, God to put your family back together. But every time you come to church, anticipating and expecting that God is going to do what you need done in your life. I was nervous when I got up here, Pastor Todd. But those butterflies are flying in perfect formation right now. I'm all right. There's another thing I want to say tonight. It's found there in the word resignation. I think it's down here in verse number 8. Says he bows his head down to these falls. Goes up, falls down before God up there on that mountain. You know what that signifies us? That's brokenness, that's humility. That's not my will, but thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Moses is prostrating himself there before God. He is saying, God, I am yielding, I am submitting, I am resigning myself to you. Lord, here's my life. You are the potter, I am the clay. Whatever you want to do with me, mold me and make me. Have thine own way, Lord. Have you come to that place of complete surrender? So here's... again, desperation. I want nothing more than the manifest, felt, tangible presence of God in my life. a separation. I am willing to block out all the distractions. I'm going to turn off the boob tube. I'm going to unplug from social media. I'm going to get alone in the secret place in my prayer closet where there's nobody but me and God. Separation. Then there's preparation. Preparation. Be ready. Be ready, because you are going to present yourself before me. And then there's anticipation. God is going to show up and he's going to give me something that I'm going to need to take with me. And then there is resignation. Have thine own way, Lord. I am broken before you. And the final step is this. Observation. Observation. Right there in verse number 4, middle of verse number 4, and that's the answer. As God commanded him. See, Moses did everything that God told him to do. That's the point. That's the whole point of the sermon tonight. Because we get up in these, I'm preaching to myself. Why? I just want God to show up. I want God to be real in my life. Or as we pray, we want the manifest presence of God. We do. You know how you get it? Look in John 14, verse 21. I want you to turn to this verse. I want you to see this verse. Because that's my crowd. That language, that's my crowd. That's me. I want God to be real. I want God to show up. I want God to be felt. I want God to make himself known. Look in John chapter 14, verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest, reveal, make known myself to him. You want God to be real? You want the manifest presence of God in your life, on your ministry, in your church? John 14, 21, keep his commandments. He will make himself known to you. Listen, I love Sand Mountain preaching, Brother Jeff. I mean, I've been in those meetings where they're throwing Bibles up in the air, you know, passing babies down the aisle and all the rest of that stuff. But after all the shouting, after all the redback singing, after all the hooping in the pulpit, after all the conferences and studies and classes and services, only one thing really matters. What are we going to do about it? What has God spoken to you about? What has God said to you that you're not yet obeying? Is there any stone uncovered? Is there any issue of business in your life that you need to tend to before the Lord here tonight? I'm going to ask us to pray. Don't even know how we're ending this thing tonight, Brother Jeff. We're going to have an invitation. We're going to have an invitation. I'm going to ask your preacher and Brother Jeff to be down here. I don't know if there's a musician in the house or not. Yeah, there is. There is. We're going to pray. You work something up over there, sanctuary, it'll be great for us to sing, brother. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for the privilege of coming here tonight. I thank you for the freedom in this place, for the sweet spirit of God in this place. I thank you for the kindred heart that I share with these your people, because we are brothers and sisters in Christ. God, I want to be clean. I want to be close to you. I don't want anything to be hindering my fellowship with you, and I don't want anything to be hindering my fellowship with others. So God, if there's something in my life, if I'm not desperate enough for you, my prayer life is not what it ought to be. I'm not fully prepared to meet with you as I ought to be. I don't have the faith and the expectancy that I ought to have. I don't have the brokenness and humility that I ought to. God, if there's anything in my life that you need to remove from me, or if there's anything missing in my life that you need to add to me, I pray that you would do that in my own heart right now. And God, in this invitation, in this place, we're broken because of the situation of the world in which we live. People need Jesus. World at its worst needs the church at its best. Help us to have a shining testimony. Oh God, I pray that you would so work on the inside of this church building tonight that tomorrow morning it'd be obvious on the outside of this church building that you're up to something good in this place. God, I pray that you would shine through our lives and our testimonies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to stand our feet, sing, just a time of response. The altar is open. Preachers are here. The men of God are here. Whatever the Holy Spirit, whatever the Lord Jesus Christ might lead you to do, a time of renewal, a time of recommitment. Ask God to rekindle the flame, rekindle the fire. Let it